You're listening to Comedy Central.
That Los Angeles sunshine coming through.
Please stand by. Prime Video and Westworld director Jonathan Nolan invite you to Fallout.
After 200 years, we don't know much about what's up there. Violence, desperation, lawlessness.
Everyone wants to save the world, but they just disagree on how.
We're gonna get across that wasteland, and we're gonna do it together.
Fallout. All episodes available now on Prime Video.
Waiting on a tax return? Hopefully it ends up in your hands. Fraudulent tax returns due to identity theft increased by 30% in 2023. If you're in a bind this tax season, LifeLock can help. LifeLock monitors and alerts you to identity threats you may miss on your own, even if you're careful with your personal information. And if you do become the victim of tax-related identity fraud, LifeLock has U.S.-based restoration specialists ready to help solve identity theft issues on your behalf. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. Why wait for your tax refund in vain? Help protect your information immediately with LifeLock. Go to LifeLock.com/news and save up to 25% your first year. That's 25% off at LifeLock.com/news. Identity theft protection starts here.
Jonathan Martin and Alex Burns. Gentlemen, I'm not even going to waste any time. I trust that you are good. Let's jump straight into this. This is the best way to describe this book for me is it's basically like the Real Housewives of Washington, D.C. It makes it look like the most scandalous place. You realize there are so many inner feuds and things that we don't even know about. When I'm reading this book, I'm going, well, shouldn't the American people see that then? Like, why do they get the sanitized, like, oh, this is how we are, when in fact, this seems like this is what's deciding the country versus what the people are seeing on the news, but the people are voting on what they see in the news.
No, and I think that's spot on, and it's one of the things that we believe so passionately about political journalism. It's one of the things that we tried to do in this book, is that there's not some clean separation between the personalities of politics and the feuds that you're talking about and the Real Housewives-style drama and the policy of it,
yes.
Right? It's the
yes.
personality and those feuds and all the sort of high school level pettiness that actually drives what happens. And if people in Washington were more upfront about that, I think, first of all, they would confirm a whole lot of what the American people sort of suspect about their politicians. But secondly, I think it would be possible maybe for the country to have a more honest conversation about what's wrong here if we weren't all putting on a different face.
But when the cameras are running in Washington, Trevor, you see two very different kinds of politicians than what you see behind the scenes in private, but they don't know that, say, the audio is running.
So this book exposes a lot. Let's talk about that, the audio. You know, I mean, one of the biggest bombshells from the book is the audio that you released, which was the audio of Kevin McCarthy after January 6th, basically saying, yeah, we've got to make Trump pay for this, he's responsible, etc. Mitch McConnell essentially being like, oh, I hope he does get impeached. You're hearing things from politicians who said the complete opposite when they were on camera. So how did you hear about it?
Well, a lot of work, a lot of hours, a lot of talking to people at all levels of government and even people outside of government. I mean, there's this perception among folks who read political journalism that it's this Hollywood idea where, like, somebody in sunglasses comes and, like, drops you a bag outside your house or, like, and you get the story of a lifetime. It ain't that. It's like a lot of work. It's a lot of shoe leather. It's a lot of time talking to people and hoping that you can piece things together to eventually get the full version of a story.
And if I could just, you know, look, you had a little fun with us at the Correspondents' Dinner. That's fair. We're big boys.
We noticed. We noticed.
But the honest response to your line that night is, look, if we were in a position to release that information the second we got it, of course we would have done that. But part of the exercise of writing a book, and part of why it's different from writing for a newspaper or producing a television show, is that the people you're talking to, the sources you're working with, yeah. will be more candid with you and will share more information. It's not just audio. It is documents. It is notes that they're taking in real time. It is their personal views and recollections. When they feel they're sharing it for history and not, you know, a show that's going to air in a couple hours from now.
That makes no sense to me because, I mean, like, it's not like this is ancient history.
Well, it's sort of...
I mean, this happened a year ago, and you're telling me the politicians are like, well, this will never see the light of day in a year?
It is actually extraordinary, and it's one of the things that I think...
I think these are the people running the country?
When we were... are trying to. When we were doing these interviews, you would see people sort of very sort of uptight, and then you'd say, listen, this is for history. And they're like, oh, well, if this is for history, and it's like, oh, it is out next May.
I mean, like, let's talk about the you know, some of the other stories. For instance, there's a part in the book, we actually have the audio here and we'll go to it real soon, is there's a part of the book where you're interviewing Donald Trump himself.
Yes.
Right? There you are, interviewing the man. And in the middle of this interview, does he call Lindsey Graham or does Lindsey Graham call him?
Lindsey Graham calls him.
Lindsey Graham calls him while you have an interview.
In the lobby at Mar-a-Lago for his guests to see. Lindsey Graham calls him.
And Trump does not get up from the couch and say, excuse me, fellas. He just, like, sits there and, like, takes that call on his cell phone and then puts it on speaker so we can hear it.
So we've actually got the audio. Let's play that call.
And most importantly, would you tell them one thing? Can Trump play golf, legitimately play golf?
Okay, so listen, I thought it was all bullshit, dude. So we go play for the first time. You know, I've heard this, I've heard that. So we play in October, it's kind of raining. He shot even par, missed a three-footer because I made him putt.
Yes.
And he would have been one under. But even par, playing by the rules of the golf. After that, started helping with my game. He's a legitimate 5, 6, maybe more. You can, if you don't believe me, go play with him.
So here's the thing. For context, for me, is this is the same Lindsey Graham who, after January 6th, was bringing up the 25th Amendment. He was like, this is too much. We've gone too far. And then Trump has him on the phone, and he's just like, dance for me,
and he does. This is 3 months later, too. So this is pretty,
Does this show us that the politicians are lying to the people, or they're lying to Trump?
That's a great question.
That's a really good question. Look, I think we were shocked, not that Lindsey Graham would be calling Trump at that point, but, you know, we all know that Lindsey Graham rode back to Donald Trump really fast, that his pronouncements on the night of January 6th had a very, very short expiration date on them. But I think just hearing in real time in front of us this, you know, sort of dancing a monkey routine was really an extraordinary moment. I don't know that he's lying to anybody. I think Lindsey Graham genuinely believes that he is playing a vital role as a diplomat between the establishment of the Republican Party and Donald Trump. I'm not saying he's right. That's clearly how he's rationalizing it.
Yeah.
It puzzled even some of his colleagues in the Senate, but you just heard there just how far it goes.
I think Trump knows that Lindsey isn't, like, his biggest fan in the world and that privately, you know, rolls his eyes, but that he sort of, you know, is trying to sort of stay in the arena, and so he has to keep Trump on his good side.
Okay.
And I think, you know, like, you know, obviously, Lindsey is pretty obviously aware of Donald Trump's liabilities and would admit that in private. So I think, like, what's the old saying? You can't BS a BSer. I think they kind of both know that the other isn't totally on the level. And so I guess it works, right?
I mean, not for the country, you know? It just seems like if Donald Trump didn't have as many scandals as he did, I feel like every single chapter in this book could have been its own book in a different time with a different presidency.
That's a great point.
I didn't know, but, like, there's a part in the book where you guys uncover the fact that Jared Kushner is the person who got Kanye West his campaign manager.
Yeah.
And all of this was essentially a scheme to try and siphon black votes away from the Democrats. Like, I'm like, that in and of itself, that would be the bombshell of the day. And now it's just like, oh yeah, just one part of the book.
Look, I think it's a great episode of sort of political, hijinks, right? But it's really revealing both of how desperate they were to try to mess with the basic electoral math of this election. I think it's also really revealing about how the White House and the president's family saw, black voters and what they would be drawn to in this election. The notion that the way to siphon black votes away from Joe Biden was to get this sort of screwball celebrity into the race and just, you know, of course those people will, vote for him instead of the guy they know as the former two-term vice president.
Yeah.
That says a whole lot about the people who are running the country for 4 years.
You know, look, with the Trump crowd, it's like a cartoon version of, like, past presidents. You know, like, the president's son-in-law, who, by the way, works in the White House, which is okay. And then secondly, is like basically running the country as a de facto senior advisor with no actual title beyond senior advisor.
Yes.
And he's also like running the campaign on the side too. And in running the campaign, he's trying to wire in a third party candidate who happens to be like a celebrity. He's like, he's doing all this. And like ostensibly, there's ethics rules that kind of exist in the White House, but it makes a mockery of any sort of like political norms or tradition in America.
That's a great way to put it, because what it feels like this book exposes in a really scary way, because it's revealing and it's shocking. But when you get to the end of the book, you go, man, America's in trouble, because it feels like there is a facade that is being presented by Washington, D.C. It feels like there is definitely a game that's being played, you know, in the Capitol versus what everyday Americans are experiencing. And then the most important thing is it feels like the two-party system has failed, because now it feels like Republicans aren't all with Trump. They play along to try and keep their role. And then, like, Democrats aren't all together. But it feels like the thing is a sham. And by the time the American people find out that it really is a sham, it'll be too late.
Well, one of the things that we hope we've accomplished with this book is to expose that sham to a pretty significant degree. The American people deserve to know what a gigantic gap there is between the way their politicians behave in public and the things they say in private about policy, about each other, and even about the American people. So again, that's sort of the overarching journalistic exercise here.
Well, I'll tell you this, if you wanted to get it out there, a book is a nice start, but if you really want people to pay attention, you got to make it into a TV show. Gentlemen, thank you so much for joining me.
Thanks a lot.
Really a pleasure.
From your lips to God's ears.
Thank you. Jonathan Harris' book, This Will Not Pass, is available right now.
The Daily Show with Trevor Noah, Ears Edition. Subscribe to The Daily Show on YouTube for exclusive content and stream full episodes anytime on Paramount+.
That Los Angeles sunshine coming through.
Please stand by. Prime Video and Westworld director Jonathan Nolan invite you to Fallout.
After 200 years, we don't know much about what's up there. Violence, desperation, lawlessness.
Everyone wants to save the world, they just disagree on how.
We're gonna get across that wasteland, and we're gonna do it together.
Fallout. All episodes available now on Prime Video.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
This has been a Comedy Central podcast.